Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Lovely Travels podcast. Hello, Emma. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. Excited for another week of podcasting. Extraordinaring.
Extraordinaring indeed, as this week you spoke to Gail Manasco about what?
Well, about podcasts. She's a podcaster too. But no, just about travel in general. She's a lover of travel and an adventurer. And she runs a podcast called Experiences You Should Have. And yeah, I was on it.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. We did a podcast exchange.
I think, in fact, this episode is an experience you should all have. So enjoy the listening and yeah, stay tuned.
Enjoy. Hi, Gail. Welcome to the Lovely Travels podcast today.
Hi, Emma. Thanks for having me. This is so exciting.
Yes, it's very awesome. I was on Gail's podcast recently, so we're doing a bit of a podcast share. So we have with us today Gail Manasco, a podcast host and an intrepid traveler. So would you like to just tell us a little bit about you?
Sure. So I have a podcast called Experiences You Should Have Podcasts. Each episode gives a how-to guide for amazing experiences. And I'm a bit of an experience junkie, and I love sharks. I love being underwater. I love diving. I do have a long history of being a skydiver, too. Right now, I'm on hiatus of that. But I am a mom of a five-year-old and a wife. I've been married for almost 8 years and have a lovely, amazing husband. And I love travel. And then by day, I'm an SEO in the search engine optimization. And then just enjoy talking about travel and meeting with others over the internet, especially in these times where I've been staying home a lot.
Yeah. That's really cool. And Gail reached out to me on Instagram. So it's really nice to be connected. And I'm always very inspired by people who, have families and travel. I've done a lot of solo travel and I now travel with my partner. But, sometimes people say, well, when you have a house, you can't do travel. Or when you have a family, you can't do travel. I'm like, what?
It's not true. We have a house and a daughter and we still travel. Except for shelter in place.
Yeah. So that's very inspiring to me. And, obviously our accents are quite different. So can you tell us where you are?
Sure. I'm in Oregon in the United States, but I grew up in Tennessee, but I felt like I grew up, though, like as a human, an adult in Florida. I spent 7 years in Florida, which is where I found like the skydiving community and that sort of thing.
Which part of Florida were you from?
So I lived in Orlando, but I was all over that state. I mean, I went everywhere. I jumped from many of the different drop zones. I dove everywhere I could dive. I felt like I did Florida.
cool.
Yeah. Florida was fun. And I moved to Oregon 10 years ago.
Okay. Awesome. Well, yeah. I've been to Florida and it's funny what you said, Orlando. I'm like a child. My eyes lit up. my brother and I went in 2009 to Florida. We went to Miami and Key West and, we did the Gator thing and then went to Orlando and, this will probably horrify you. We went to Disney World and we did all four parks in one day.
No.
And then the next day, we went to Universal Studios and we did both parks in one day. And then we arrived at New York City at 2 a.m. that night.
Wow. Yeah. Whoa. I haven't been to all the Disney World parks. it's actually probably one of my least favorite places. But more power to you. I mean, good job. You did it.
We really, you know, the levels really just, you know, we just pack things in. But it's funny how my travel style has changed. And like in 2006, I did my first sort of gap year and I did a big travel. And I literally have this memory of running around Madrid with a map. There were like 50 sites, you know, 50 things to see on the map. And I was like, yep, I got this. And I like nearly was running at one point. And then I ended up eating an ice cream and then felt quite ill. And so I ended up lying in the park for 2 hours, which kind of ended up being one of my favorite things. And I remembered like, so kind of was like, okay, maybe I need to slow down a bit. And then when I got to New York with my brother, after doing 2 days, you know, running around two of the biggest theme parks in the world, he was literally at one point nearly running through New York City. And I just like yelled at him, like, stop. I was like, this city, you could live here for a year and still not see everything. It is a world. Right. And I was like, slow down. So yeah, I've sort of tended to like move towards that more and more now. And I think yours, it seems like your sort of travel is quite focused. Like when you go to a place, do you tend to go there for the experience?
I mean, it depends. If I'm on my own, then yes, I have an idea in mind. Like I want to swim with schooling hammerheads. So this is where I go to do it, you know. So I'm going to go there for this experience and then see what else is to offer. However, there's sometimes where, I know we took a month and traveled Thailand. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of different experiences and went to Chiang Mai and different islands and sometime in Bangkok. And that was a different kind of trip. So it really kind of depends on the goal.
Yeah, for sure. And well, with a month, you do have that time to, did you have a fixed plan or did you just kind of?
We did have a fixed plan because we were traveling then with a 4-year-old and I wanted to know where we're going to be the next night. And so my plan was fairly rigid where I planned out lots of travel. I mean, we moved from place to place, but I had a full itinerary and plan, at least of where we were going to stay.
Yeah.
And that way we didn't have to worry about the hotel piece. And then it was fun to show my daughter on a map where we're going, what we're doing next. And she wanted to know the schedule, you know. She really likes the idea of like, what are we doing today? What are we going to do tomorrow? Where are we going next? Where have we been? You know?
And you're like, you got to have answers for a 4-year-old.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I have to ask about Tennessee. Were you anywhere near Nashville?
Yes, I was. I grew up about 30 minutes from Nashville. So, yes, very close. And in high school, I worked in Nashville. I spent a lot of time in Nashville. I was in Nashville every day. Yeah.
Oh, like again, listeners, my eyes have lit up because I'm a Nashville tragic. I loved the show.
It was a great show. I enjoy Nashville too.
Okay, good. Yeah, it was like, yes, it was borderline, like it could have gone into that soapy trash, but the music was phenomenal and the cast was really well put together. And, you know, I think from some accounts, it is quite kind of representative of what happens in Nashville, and that, you know, it is such a hub for music and it develops careers. And
it is, I felt like in high school every single person was playing the guitar or singing, or I mean it's just like the nature of Music City, you know. Everyone is just in the music industry. And back then, Starbucks was really hip. I mean, I know a lot of people still go to Starbucks, but like it was, I feel like it was really chic then. Okay. And I would hang out at Starbucks and there would be all these different deals going on and music producers coming in there. Tim McGraw and Faith Hill coming into Starbucks. I mean, like it really felt like this hub there. And there was many different Starbucks, but I knew all the Starbucks. But
yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Well, there was a vibe to it, you know, and a much different vibe in Florida. It's like complete opposite.
Yeah. Oh, well, look, I haven't been to Nashville or to Tennessee at all, and I'm just dying to get there. Like, the thing I like about traveling in the States, and you probably think it's very hilarious, but like everywhere I go is like a movie because there's been so many movies from the States. So, but certainly where my cousin lives is Illinois and the border of Wisconsin. And so it's very like all American, and I just sit there and I'm just like, oh, it's just like a, you know, just like a hometown. And it's, you know, when you see grown up seeing things on a movie and on TV, and it feels so far away and different to your life. And although Australia and US on the surface might look different, we have different cultures. So, to see that in real life is it's a joy. So some people are from Australia and the UK might put off the US travel for a while, but
sure.
For me, I've always found it very culturally, like the states you've just talked about. I mean, they're completely different. Florida to Tennessee to and then Oregon.
Yes, like, very drastically different. Drastically. Which I think is fun. I think it's fun to throw yourself in a new state, a new environment, get to know it, and then move on to the next chapter. And I feel like that really, it just adds to your experience. It adds to your perspective, especially going from maybe like a very like red, a Republican state to a very like blue Democrat state, you know, and seeing the different paradigms and cultures and have an understanding of different kinds of people, whether it's the states or in other countries.
And where you are now, Oregon, I've not been, but it's very much on the top of my list because I met a girl on my travels actually in Spain, and she was from Oregon, and she should have been the ambassador because she really promoted that state and just told me about all the hiking and all the natural beauty. And
beautiful here. It's absolutely beautiful. I mean, I'm surrounded by snow-covered mountains. There's great skiing here, great hiking. We've got a river running through town, and people just float on inner tubes in the day. Beautiful stand-up paddle boarding in the high lakes with just that beautiful crystal clear water. But what I love about Oregon, and I'm probably about 4 hours away, but is the Oregon coast is majestic. I mean, just these jaw-jutting cliffs and the Pacific Ocean, and it's just like, I don't know, it's just barreling at you, and you've got fresh crab coming off the boats.
Oh, yum.
And, you know, this amazing chowder and live music and I don't know, just the Oregon coast like feels alive, and it still feels wild to me.
And for those who aren't so good with the geography, it's the northwest of the US.
Correct. We're the state above California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is a pretty long state. Pretty far up, and you're just under Washington.
Right, correct. We're between Washington and California. Yeah.
You're getting that kind of makes sense as well with, like, you know, if you picture that Canadian sort of landscape, you're starting to get closer to that with Oregon.
Right. We've got pine trees everywhere, and it's a very mountain. I live in a mountain town, bend your arm.
Yeah.
And it's very big on outdoor activities. It's a very active lifestyle. People get outside, really big mountain biking here. And the schools are really good here, and they're free, which is great. You know, I mean, public schools in the US are free, but our public schools here they're really good, which is it's a nice place to raise a family.
That's awesome. And so just like we are still currently in the time of COVID-19, and has that impacted much of that outdoorsy life?
I do work for it's part of like my SEO business. I've got a bike shop that's a client, and they are just going through the roof with mountain bike sales, road bike sales. I mean, people are getting outside because it's a way for you to get out in the in nature with your bike and not be anywhere near anyone. You can go easily, go hiking. So the bike shop is doing extremely well. We've got it's like a surf wave on the river.
Oh, cool.
So you can go surf on the river. And there's a constant line for it, and everybody's standing 6 feet apart, and there's only so many people allowed, and so you have to wait longer to go surf. But people are up there, you know, kayaking, and so it's the outdoor area is kind of perfect for the time that we're in right now.
Yeah, and the weather change as well. You guys have come out of winter during this time.
Right, and so we had a lot of warm days for our spring. And, we hung out a lot outside in the hammock and gardening and hanging out. And it's been really nice, actually.
Yeah, so how's been that change for you? I mean, how often? I travel very frequently, so everyone's been a bit worried about me, but I'm quite enjoying being home. But how's it been for you?
I mean, it's been a huge shift, because one of my favorite things to do is to look forward to a trip and to plan the trip and travel on the trip, and now it's just everything's on hold, and I don't know what I'm looking forward to yet. And so when I think back at 2019, we did 2019 so well. We spent a month in Thailand. We went to the Albuquerque Balloon Festival. We spent time in Tennessee. We went to Florida. I feel like, I don't know, we did a few more things. But it was just like we were constantly going, you know, went to the Grand Canyon. Just like...
Oh, amazing.
It was just a fun year. Like, it was a really fun year. And then January, we were gone the whole month of January, went to Hawaii, Florida, Mexico, California. Oh. And even in February, I was still traveling. I was going down to California. I was going to travel conferences. And then boom, COVID hit.
Yeah.
And so I felt like I did a really good job of even getting in a lot of travel at the beginning of the year and all last year. And so part of it was a welcome change to slow down and cook, learn how to make bread with the rest of the world. And I took like online bread making classes, and I started cross stitching this beautiful gift for a friend that seriously took me like 12 weeks to do. And, we started implementing like pizza and movie night. We make homemade pizza on Friday nights, have a glass of red wine, you know, and watch a movie together, sit on the front porch. And I really got to slow down, enjoy my daughter, enjoy my husband, make iced tea, you know, and lemonade. It's an Arnold Palmer.
Yeah.
And sit outside, enjoy the sunshine. But what I really miss, though, is like hanging out with neighbors. Like, I love neighbors. And we've been doing like distancing kind of hangouts. Mm-hmm. But I miss having people over for dinner. I miss cooking for my friends. We used to have a lot of dinner parties. And go to other friends' houses and have a cocktail and play cards. And that, I miss that. Mm-hmm. And I miss like looking forward for the next trip. I miss like going to the Oregon coast and sitting outside with a beer and a crab and listening to the ocean. But that will come in due time.
Yeah.
And now's the time to enjoy a slow simmered sauce.
Yeah.
And we're investing in a fireplace, you know, we're making our home cozy. And it's so funny because when we were traveling in Thailand, I started reading this book called Hygge. And I might be saying it wrong, but it's H-Y-G-G-E. But I think it's Hygge. And there's no word in English to really describe it, but it's kind of like a rustic coziness.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of inspired me to create that in our own space and to do things the slow way and break out the wooden games and to, I don't know, hang out a little bit more.
Yeah, I think it's definitely been a good reminder for that sort of thing and those opportunities we don't usually get. But I agree with the not having something to quite look forward to. And I think even just having something to break up the weeks and, you know, yeah. You and I are in that position where we work online and we work from home and we also have a side thing. And so the work can just be endless. And so I think my only challenge was sometimes, and, you know, maybe having a child to interrupt would have been good, but, yeah. You know, they don't really take the whole like what work, thing. But yeah, just, I found that at times I could have just kept working all day, all night, all weekend, and the days were just melding into one. So I realized that the travel that I do domestically and internationally breaks up my year and breaks up my months. And yes. So it sort of stopped and was like, oh, I haven't really had a break type thing. So, and it's funny you say like that rustic sort of, I'm really craving like a cabin. Like I'm craving... and we have some mountains near us, and I just want like a little cabin getaway or something. And we've been yeah. watching shows on the tiny houses and on like there's a Stay Here show, and some of the things that they've done have been cabins. And we watched this show called Cabins in the Wild. I'm like, obviously cabins are just, I just need to get into the woods sort of thing.
I think there's books out there called cabin porn, you know, which are just like just cabins in the woods, and there's something soothing about looking mm-hmm. at those cabins.
They're so charming. Yeah. So yeah, that's something that I hope will sort of, and it wasn't possible, but it is starting to be possible here now. So I think we'll look at that. But, you know, while we're sort of reminiscing about what was and what has been, it's a tough question for a traveler, but I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
What is your favorite country?
So I read that. I'm going to go with Mexico.
Yes.
Mexico. I mean, the food, I mean, if I could pick one country cuisine to have for the rest of my life, hands down, Mexican food. And, you know, yeah. breakfast tacos and breakfast burritos.
And, just breakfast all
I
day.
Mean, just the homemade tortillas, the margaritas. It's just, yes, Mexico. The diving is fantastic. I love the Sea of Cortez. I love Baja. I love, there's this little island called Isla Mujeres, which has some of the most beautiful water over there. I love the cenotes as you do too.
I do. I got married at one. So
yes.
I really love them.
That's so cool. I got to be a mermaid in one.
Yeah.
They're fun. I mean, I think, yeah, Mexico.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And when you say about the cuisine too, I think for people who haven't been there, it is not Tex-Mex. Like Tex-Mex is tasty. It's yummy. I used to work at a Tex-Mex restaurant when I was 16, but the food is so light and flavorful and
so
different.
Good. And it's, the ceviche, I mean, mm-hmm. if you can be near the water and like good fishing, if you are a fish eater, oh yeah, just the lime, the jalapeno, just it's so good. So
yeah.
Good.
And all the different states, you know, I think that's the other thing as well. People, Mexico is actually a really big country and
huge.
You know, the different states have different food. So right. like I loved going to Mexico City because there's that fusion where mm-hmm. you get the Oaxacan food, you get the food from the coast, from the west coast, from the east coast, from Tabasco, from the north, you know.
Yes. And the Oaxacan cheese is so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Now, the tougher question sometimes for people, and I always preface it with, it doesn't have to be because it's a bad country, but maybe it wasn't on the top of your list. So I do ask, what is your least favorite country?
I couldn't pick a least favorite country because I just enjoy traveling that much that I couldn't. However, I'd like to pick my least favorite city.
Okay.
If that
is
counts.
Fine.
Okay.
Yes.
So there are people who are probably going to curse my name when I say this. New York City.
Ooh.
I know.
Controversial. No, that's okay. No, it's big cities out for everybody. But I'd love to hear why.
I mean, so I went and I was on a very tight budget, extremely tight budget. Nothing was in my budget. I could not afford a regular hotel room.
Yeah.
So I had to depend on friends of friends of friends of friends. I was sleeping on the floor of people's apartments in bad neighborhoods. And then when I get somewhere, like, I want to smell the city. I want to taste the city. Well, I got to New York City and I'm like, I'm going to smell the city. Ew. It smells like garbage. There's like, everybody's trash bags are out on the street. And I was mortified. Like, they weren't even in a nice little bin to keep the stink in. Like, it was just trash everywhere. And maybe it was just I arrived on trash day, but I'm like, I don't like to smell the city. Well, I want to taste the city. I couldn't afford the city, you know? So I wanted to eat on like $25 a day. So I had $5 for breakfast, $5 for lunch, and $10 for dinner. So I could go to Starbucks and get oatmeal, you know, or I can get a slice of pizza, which that was good. I could find a bagel, you know, but I felt like I couldn't enjoy the restaurants there. I couldn't go to a show. Like, everything, I was just outpriced. And I went in summer and it was so hot, so humid. I didn't like New York City. Now, if you got some money to spend and you can throw it down on a nice hotel and you don't need a smell and you can stay in a nicer, maybe a nicer place. And I mean, I was traveling like this with this one blanket and I laid it down on the floor and this guy who I didn't even know, it was like a friend of a friend of a friend, his dog came and peed on my blanket when I got up to go to the bathroom. And so I had this like dog pee. I had a dog pee blanket in the middle. Like, I was just like, I can't come back here unless I can
afford
lay some money down. Yeah. So I didn't like New York City.
And look, that's the thing with when I always ask that question. It's like sometimes I do tend to like take those experiences with a grain of salt because you're like, maybe it's the timing and all that stuff. But then also sometimes a place isn't for you, you know? And that's right. Cool too.
Yeah. I'm a friendly person. I want to talk to people. I want to have a nice, good, long conversation. And people in New York City at least did not want to have that long conversation with me. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I'm used to talking to the person in line at the grocery store. And that was not happening.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I could have had a really bad experience in New York and it could have gone really south real quick. It did go south real quick. We arrived at, it was probably about 12:30 or 1 a.m. like flew in, got to our hostel.
After your Disney World.
Yeah, we were pretty wrecked. Yes. We'd got rained on all day as well. So we'd been wet all day, then got changed. We arrived at like 1 a.m. and went to East Harlem. And Harlem is kind of a rougher area.
Yeah.
And we'd had our hostel booked and we get there and there's this like dodgy door with like the letters twisted and the East River Hotel or something. And we were like, And we knocked on the door and nobody came and we rang the bell and no one came. And I think we tried to call someone and nothing happened. And we're like, what are we going to do? And then the cops pull up, the NYPD. They're like, hey guys, what are you doing on the street? We're like, this is our hotel. We're trying to get in. And they're like, this isn't a good neighborhood. You shouldn't be standing on the street. And we're like, well, this is our hotel and we can't get in and we tried and we don't even know if it's the right place. And they're like, okay, well, we'll come and check. So these cops come and like pound on the door. So these poor hostel owners come down to the police at 1 a.m. with these two like Australian kids, like, like, are you this hotel? And they're like, yes. And then the cops are like, we'll walk you up. So they walked us up into this place and this poor guy owner is like you know, and then he's like, you guys okay? I'm like, yeah, we're okay. Then we have to like check in with this man who ended up being the one, most wonderful host, and we had a lovely time, and it was like a really cool little hostel, but it was like not the way you want to arrive to New York City.
No.
So ended up having a really good stay. And then the next time I came, I stayed with a girlfriend and we got put up in the Waldorf. So I've had very good. Waldorf is like the hotel. It's actually gone now. You can't stay there anymore. So I've had a very different New York experience. But I understand that having not so much budget, I think we just kind of blew any semblance of a budget that we might have had.
Sure.
You have to.
I mean, it's expensive. It's very expensive.
It is. So, that's fun. Now, look, I would love to hear how you got into podcasting. We're very new. We're little babies in the podcast world, but you reached out to me, which is lovely, taking me under your wing.
Oh.
And I'd love to hear how you got started.
Yeah, I was an avid podcast listener and just love podcasts. I listen to them every single night when I lay down before I go to sleep. But it's just a nice quiet time to listen to podcasts. And I've done a lot of speaking, I've done storytelling, and people told me I should create a podcast, but I just didn't really know about what. And then me and a girlfriend were going to start a podcast on like sustainability and what, you know, as we're trying to also learn sustainability, you know, like I used to use straws all the time. Okay, well, how can you go strawless? Or which is better, a metal straw or a glass straw? Or you know, and like kind of testing things out. And we met together for one episode, and then the name of the podcast was like Our Names and Saves the World. And then we had trouble like getting it off the ground, like coordinating schedules. She's extremely busy. She's an MC, a comedian. Like she's just like in all sorts of places, and we couldn't make it work, I think, schedule-wise. But here I bought all this podcast equipment. You know, I had figured it out. I learned what an RSS feed was. We got a few, an episode or two live, but it wasn't going anywhere. And I'm like, well, I have all this equipment. I'm paying for all these services. I don't want all this stuff to go to waste. And I'm like, okay, I think I need to come up with a different show where I'm the host and maybe I've guests on, and maybe I'll go in a different direction. And I had a dream trip planned to swim with the Schooling Hammerheads in the Galapagos. And I just started like thinking, and it just kind of came to me. Experiences. Like I love experiences. I focus more on the experience versus the country. You know, I'm after the experience first, and then wherever it is where it is, and I'll go there for it. And I'm like, experiences you should have. And then the domain was available, and so I just bought it, committed, and then I bought some travel microphones. And on this boat, I stayed on a boat for a week at this little island called Darwin, which is a rock in the ocean. And once you get to the Galapagos, which is part of Ecuador, and you've got to fly there from Guayaquil or Quito. And then once you get there, you've got to get on a boat. And then it's another 18-hour journey out to the middle of nowhere to essentially this rock where an arch is, and that's where the hammerheads were. And I realized, like, on that boat, all these people are experience-focused. They went out to one of the most remote places to go diving with hammerheads. Like, these, like, this is my tribe.
Yeah.
And so I brought these microphones with me on this boat, and I just started interviewing people on the boat. And I, you know, I didn't know these people, you know, so I just started, you know, making friends and interviewing them, and they became the first few episodes of the podcast.
That's so cool. And I love that philosophy because, you know, sometimes, we are focused. I have a mission to visit every country, so I am quite focused on the country. But certainly, like, my husband, we went to Mongolia last year because he watched a show and he's like, I want to do archery. I want to ride a horse along the tundra. I'm like, you don't like horse riding. He's like, I want to go. And I want to see the eagle hunting. And I want to see the giant Genghis Khan statue. And it was like, all because of this show, he got into Mongolia. So yes. It was about the experiences within Mongolia that then made that country open to him.
Right.
And that's quite an unusual destination. And he sometimes doesn't love the travel sort of thing, if you know what I mean. Like he likes experiences, but that aspect of the traveling he sometimes doesn't love. So for him to call that and say to go there, I was like, that's really awesome. And I mean, the same with where I'm on Gail's podcast episode talking about Silfra in Iceland. Like,
right.
As much as Iceland was on the list, Silfra became sort of an urgent, want to have that experience. So that moved to the top of the list.
Right. You want to dive in between two continental plates.
Yeah.
And whether it would have been in Iceland or somewhere else, that's the experience.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And so once you know, you hear about, and it's funny because I tend to, you know, you probably went on that trip and then met a bunch of people who told you about other things. And so then, yes. Then you got,
I've got a list.
Yeah. Then you go somewhere else and obviously like-minded people and they're like, oh, well, we did this. And you're like, well, I want to do that.
Right.
And it's interesting that the country and the culture of it almost becomes secondary to what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit odd. And many times the thing that I'm doing is in the middle of nowhere. So sometimes I miss out on the country and the culture because I'm in like a very remote place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're on a boat.
Right. I'm on a boat.
You could be anywhere. But it's also nice when the locals are there. Like we went diving in Vanuatu and, you know, the locals are just really fun and, had a completely different attitude, a way of doing things that was very much kept reminding you, okay, we're in Vanuatu and, you know, they were just fun. It was different to doing a dive in Australia because you just wouldn't have that guide and their view of the world.
Right. And that's one of our first episodes was around diving the SS President Coolidge in Vanuatu. Oh. And I met an Australian on the trip to the Galapagos and she talked about that experience.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, we're very fortunate down this end of the world to have a lot of beautiful places. I think that we also talked about, I just went to Papua New Guinea, but now I'm very keen to go back for the diving and I'm very glad in one respect that I was doing an 8-day trek and was going to tack on 10 days of diving after. It's now ludicrous.
Right.
But, it was like, cool. It's not that far. It's not that much. Obviously there's a restriction now, but it's an easy-ish trip for us in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice to know. So, oh, that's so cool. And so I guess if you could go anywhere or, you know, what would be the next sort of, now that you've had time to reflect, what would be the next, okay, I got to get there now.
So I really want to go back somewhere that I loved. There was just this one place, it was one of the most magical places I've ever been. And I just learned that you can go experience this place for 2 days, whereas originally you had to go there for a week to experience it. And so I'd love to be able to go back to Tiger Beach. Because we do go to Florida. My husband's dad actually lives in Florida and I'm hoping to see him after all this, the coronavirus global pandemic world that we're in calms down. And the majority of time we're spending it with family, but I'd love to be able to go and take this jaunt over to Tiger Beach again, which is, I say the word beach, but there's no beach. When you go to Tiger Beach, you actually can't see any land around you. And it's this place where tiger sharks will congregate.
Wow.
And tiger sharks they're just one of my favorite sharks. I love tiger sharks. And I got to spend a week with tiger sharks 10 years ago at Tiger Beach. And when I go on a boat, this is not a cruise liner.
No.
I mean, we're talking like 10 people go go out. And so when I went and signed up for this trip. I didn't know anybody else on the boat. You know, I just showed up as this fun singleton or whatever, and hopped on the boat and went out to Tiger Beach, and we chummed the water, put like lots of fish blood in there, and we attracted about, I don't know, 50, 75 lemon sharks. And then tigers started to come in. And by the end of the week, we had 5 tiger sharks in the water. And this is no cages or anything like that. We're just in the water with them all day.
Oh,
I was,
God.
I did my very first night dive at Tiger Beach 10 years ago. And it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. And I've been longing to go back. And a few years later, I did this trip where we were supposed to be swimming with these wild Atlantic dolphins. Mm-hmm. Completely wild, you know, they're in the water. It's not associated with any aquarium or anything like that. We're just getting in the water with them. If they want to hang out with us, they can. If not, they leave. And then we're supposed to also go to Tiger Beach, but that year the dolphins moved to Bimini.
And I've been there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And so we ended up just hanging out in front of Bimini that week, and we missed Tiger Beach. And I was going to introduce my husband to Tiger Beach on that trip, and I didn't get to take him. So I'd love to get back there.
Yeah. That's cool. That's cool to know the geography. Okay. Between sort of Florida and Bahamas. So Bahamas.
Right.
And just for listeners, tiger sharks are very accurately named because they can be pretty ferocious. So when you're like, you know, that's why I'm sitting here again with big eyes going, you know, yeah, tiger sharks are for real.
Yeah, but I love them. I just love them. And yeah, and so when I went, I stayed there for a week on the boat, whereas now you can go out for 2 days and get 4 dives in and spend the night on Grand Bahama. And I'd love to go do that jaunt and then go see family in Florida.
Wow, what a great thing to look forward to. Well, thank you so much for your time today. And it's just always a pleasure talking to you and just get ideas. I'm just going to now run to my husband and be like, we've got to go to Tiger Beach. Gail said we've got to go here. So this is the only problem with talking to travelers. We just give each other ideas and we just want to do more. So
fantastic. Thank you for having me on the show.
That's okay. Yeah. So have a wonderful day.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, everyone, you've made it. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It was so lovely to have reciprocate the podcast favor and have Gail come on to our podcast. But if you would like to listen to the episode that I was on with her, that's on her podcast, Experiences You Should Have. It's on iTunes, Spotify, all the good podcasting places you can find it. My episode was about diving Silfra. I will put it in the show link, the show notes. Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously Gail talked about a bit in there as well that she loves diving. So a lot of them are kind of do have a dive feel. And if you want to check out a bit more about Gail and see more of those stories, head to experiencesyoushouldhave.com.
Yeah, and if you want to experience more of us, you can tune in on Spotify, iTunes. Just remember to rate and review if you have the possibility to do so. Also, you can chat to us on Instagram at Lovely Travels. You can join our fantastic Facebook group filled with beautiful travelers, Lovely Travels. On Facebook, yep. And also write to us, info@lovelytravels.com.
So many ways to connect with us. And we love hearing from you. Please let us know your thoughts, feelings, feedback, comments. We
favorite
enjoy
food.
It. Favorite food, favorite country. We love it all. So tune in next week. We will chat more travel and adventure, surprisingly.
That's right. Be there or be square.
See you guys.
See you later.